Meeting in order. Roll call.
Summers.
Here.
Weibel.
Here.
Alex.
Here.
Clemens.
Here.
Cohort.
Need approval of agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Open for discussion, any corrections? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Need approval of minutes for May 5th, 2017.
Move to approve as is.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Public participation.
If I may, the reason I came this morning.
You're the public?
Well, either that or new business, and I figured I'm public actually here. As I had mentioned previously, had mentioned at ELOC, my concern about rural intersections, and had mentioned it from two points. One is stop signs, and the other is line of sight issues. Jeff sent me a message, and he can talk in more detail about what he's accomplished through a grant, and that is getting stop signs for rural intersections. So that seems to be in the pipeline to get that done. Again, he'll speak to, you know, his timeline and things like that. The second part was the line of sight issue, and one of the responses that came back to me was a suggestion that it might be important to involve the Champaign County Fire Bureau in such a conversation. So I just wanted to let you know that I took your suggestion seriously, and I have sent my concerns and thoughts as to what's been happening out on our rural roads. We've had three pretty bad accidents recently out on our rural roads, and density of traffic is increasing with the venue out on Oaks. And so I have asked that this be a topic at the Farm Bureau Land Use Committee meeting, which is happening next Tuesday. I don't know if the chair will choose to put it on the agenda. I can't attend that meeting because we have Kyle that night, but I just wanted to let everybody know that I did follow through on that to see if we could get some thoughts and input from the folks at the Farm Bureau as to where their thinking is on this and what collaboration we might explore, and maybe we could do it in a pilot project or incrementally at some of the identified intersections that seem to be more challenging than some of the others, because I do know many farmers voluntarily do plant back from the intersection, so it isn't every single intersection. And then last night at ELOC, Jim Goss asked John Hall about the crossing and protection at the intersection of the new walking bike trail and the road out there going east toward St. Joe. And John Hall said that they have plans for many identifying signs, and that the Forest Preserve has agreed and promised to keep line of sights clear in that area. John Hall said, I think Jim Goss's concern was during, especially harvest time, a lot of grain trucks going through. John Hall said when this was at the ZBA, the larger concern was just regular daily traffic because those people are driving so fast, whereas when the grain trucks are going through there, it's slower. Doesn't mean that a grain truck couldn't really injure somebody, but it isn't so much of a speed situation at that point. So that's just follow-up I wanted to share with folks. I'm not sure how fast or speedily things will come to the discussion point at the Farm Bureau, but just to let you know.
Well, we do have a grant
2018, likely, in the summer, where Rita's transportation group has identified the, and working with the highway commissioners, we've identified what the through routes are and what the stop routes should be out in the townships. And we are going to place stop signs at every intersection to make them two-way stops, not four-way stops.
Right, sorry, I didn't make that clear.
Yeah. So, and that does obviously significantly improve the safety of the intersections, although not everybody stops at those stop signs,
correct,
as we well know.
That's why a line of sight is an issue.
Yeah. And if you look at line of sight for people who are traveling 55 to whatever speed they want to, I mean, it's a pretty good line of sight.
It is.
That you got to knock down and be able to see. If you're going to trust that the people are actually going to stop at the stop sign, and therefore the line of sight needs to be so that they can stop, you know, 10 feet before the stop sign and be able to see in both directions, then it cuts down that sight triangle quite significantly, down to maybe like a quarter of an acre. From almost 3/4 of an acre if it's the other way. So it's something that we can talk about and see how much kickback we might get from the Farm Bureau and or the highway commissioners, because a lot of those guys are not only highway commissioners but farmers. As well. You know, and just see, float it out there and see if we get some positive responses from it, because I'm not going to go out and condemn a bunch of property to get a line of sight. That's probably not in our best interest. But if people are interested in it and we could somehow fund it through some other means besides township money, because they don't have any money and we can't spend county highway money on township roads, that's not statutorily legal. But if we could get a safety grant for X number of intersections to purchase right-of-way, we could definitely look into that.
Well, and one of the things in our exchanges that I posited as a thought is if there was a summer internship, say, in 2018, who could do some of the calculations as to what stepping back crops would actually cost a farmer as a piece of information, mm-hmm, to see what kind of conversations might have, or that would be interesting data if you applied for a grant, because it is recognized and acknowledged that there is cost to a farmer because of the creeping incrementalism that is had of planting as close to a corner as they do.
And it may be that the highway commissioners, I mean, a lot of those farmers plant into your right of way. Without a doubt, some of them all the way down into the ditches. And I know that...
I wasn't aware of that one.
Around Champagne, light poles.
Champaign Township actually goes out and mows it off. Keith does. He goes out once the crops are established and says, I can't see here, and he takes his tractor and he mows off the corn.
Oh, I would think.
I don't know how he gets away with it, but he does it.
I wouldn't have a job very long.
I would think the farmer then wouldn't waste money and plant.
I think it's just easier to plant it than to not plant that little sliver that he's going to mow off.
Okay.
You know.
Well, whatever. I just wanted to let you all know I listened to your responses back, and this, and I took them and pursued some of the things that you all shared with me. Okay. That's all.
We could just get them all to plant beans at the intersections. Would be all right.
That would be cool. Would that be an easy solution?
It's got this one little acre of beans at the corner.
All right.
Every year.
Do you remember when there was sunflowers?
We talked about doing roundabouts, too, so that middle part.
Don't even.
He sent me the suggestion about roundabouts. I said, do you realize how big it is? If you think it's hard to get this little section out of a farmer, can you imagine the chunk of land? Or a good roundabout.
Well, I sent that video too on YouTube.
Yeah, you did.
Of people using roundabouts, flying over them.
He sent me this video.
Right through them,
driving over them.
He sent me this video of them leaping over the roundabout because I had sent him When my kids lived in Arlington, Virginia, they have roundabouts about this side.
Those are traffic circles, not roundabouts.
Well, but they're not even that because I told them I stood there and watched, and I didn't have a cell phone then to take pictures, but instead of going like this, they're going shoop. It's like, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, those so are then the... he sent me this one of, and at what time did you become airborne as you go over the top of this traffic circle or whatever you want to call it? All right, so we had a little fun with it.
All right.
Okay, any more public participation?
I can think of another time.
If not, communication, any communication from the committee? Okay. We need approval of the county and township motor fuel tax claim for May 2017.
Move approval.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, now we're going to the engineers.
So the first couple of items, 9 and 10, are brought to us through the RPC. So I believe you guys are here to talk about those items. Yes, so I'll let you have the floor.
Thank you again for holding this meeting.
You bet.
So the first item that we have is the revised intergovernmental agreement between Champaign County and Champaign-Urbana-Mass Transit District for fiscal years FY18 through FY20. And those are state fiscal years, so July to June. The catalyst for this was the revision to reflect our new lease for the C-CART's office space and parking at the new MTD maintenance facility. And so when we went through to do that, we also changed some other things to update them for the next three fiscal years so we don't need to bring them again. So I'll just run down the changes that we made, and if you have any questions at any point, go ahead and stop me. We changed the Illinois Department of Transportation's division name as they had a restructure. The state and federal grant application responsibilities are separate as the applications are no longer combined. With that, we separated the tasks for each of the applications to reflect a new format. We added quarterly and year-end reporting responsibilities for Champaign County and for CUMTD. We changed the language from federal holidays to a list of the actual 6 days that C-CARTS does not operate to avoid confusion with the federal holidays if the county is closed. RPC staff replaces Champaign County staff as the party responsible for securing service contracts for C-CARTS. Language has been added to reflect the new lease that I mentioned, and that lease is included as Exhibit B in the IGA. Maintenance rates have been updated to reflect the hourly rates for the next three fiscal years. MTD no longer charges an administrative fee. We're just charging direct labor for that. And then uninsured and underinsured coverage is no longer a required element of the liability insurance. The reason for that being that the consortium that MTD is a part of no longer offers that. And the last change is that the managing director of MTD signs off on the IGA at the direction of the MTD board rather than the board chair signing. And that was approved by MTD's board last month. Any questions about the IGA? That's also included in the packet.
Okay, is there discussion on this?
Question. With regard to vehicle liability insurance, I'm assuming that that's considered the appropriate amount, boilerplate from legal. I know it's a different venue than MTD normally operates in, but there have been some issues that MTD has had to deal with in terms of accidents that have caused litigation and significant cost. I'm just asking the question if that's adequate insurance coverage for the county to, for us to remain protected.
Those are minimums, correct?
Yeah.
So I mean, so C-Carts is now, because the vehicles are leased to MPD, they're under the same insurance consortium. And my understanding is that the amounts listed there are just minimums, where the policy that we're under, I believe that the ceiling on those is quite a bit higher.
Okay.
Because of the concerns that you mentioned.
I'm just looking at page 16. It says combined single limit of 1 million. So that's what I'm referring to.
You're saying that MTD actually carries insurance in excess of that, in excess of the amount?
That's my understanding. And that, what was listed in the IGA, those were the minimums that we had to, that had to be in place for the C-CART service for IDOT.
I would be happy to get the actual amounts if you'd be interested. I didn't think to bring it.
I would appreciate that too. Yeah.
Any more discussion? All in favor of this intergovernmental agreement, say aye.
Do we have a motion? Sorry.
Oh, that's right.
We need a motion. I will move approval.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Any more discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 More item?
We actually have two more.
Two more? Okay.
The next one is the vehicle lease agreement. And the reason for the update in this is that we have an updated fleet. And this was also approved by MTD's board in May. So the changes to this are the disposition of two of our vehicles from the fleet, an expected delivery this summer or fall, the inclusion of the common name that we use to refer to the vehicles for each of the vehicles. We list the vehicles in chronological order, and we've made the grant agreements more clear within the document. And then as we did in the IGA, we changed IDOT's division name, and we edited the liability insurance section to match the IGA. And this will also be for the same three fiscal years. So that was pretty straightforward. One thing to note is that we don't have the executed contract for the new vehicle. So you'll notice that in the packet, the grant number and contract number are highlighted to be included upon receipt of the vehicle and the contract.
All right.
I move to approve the contract or agreement.
Thank you for discussion.
Who was the second?
George.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
And then the last item that we have is the consolidated vehicle procurement application for calendar year 2017. We're requesting the replacement of our 2016 medium-duty 14-passenger bus that was totaled in December. The total cost of this project would be $63,000, 80% federal funding matched with 20% state, so no cost to the county. And this is at the direction of IDOT for the quickest replacement of that vehicle that we lost. In the accident. And that application is also included in the packet. I have the entire application at the end.
Questions? question. I noticed in the previous, I guess this goes to the previous item too, you said there were two vehicles that were taken off the roll, C-55 and C-69?
Yes.
What was C-55?
C-55 was an older vehicle that dropped a transmission. So we went through the process with IDOT to dispose of that.
Okay.
And it was transferred to the rural transit provider in Vermilion County.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I move to approve this grant application.
Second.
Moved and second. It's open for discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Right, thank you.
Thanks again.
You bet. No problem.
We won't be having a meeting in July with this bag, so.
I think we're done with this. Thanks for now. Thank you.
All right. Item number 11, resolution appropriating county bridge funds for the replacement of structure number 010-4123. There's a resolution in your packet as well as a map that shows the location of that structure, which is there by Ely Brothers, just off of 45 east on County Highway 11. This one and the next one, 010-4124, both on County Highway 11. 4124 is just a couple miles farther east than 4123. Both bridges were built by IDOT back in 1925, rehabbed in 1977, shortly before they were turned over to the county and widened to be able to take the wider loads. But with all the new rules and all the new, bridge ratings that the state is doing, the way that these bridges were built and some of the deterioration that's happened over the years, being that they're almost 100 years old, the state has told me that it's highly likely that these bridges will be posted very soon, because they came out and did an in-depth inspection on them just a few weeks ago. So instead of waiting for them to go through their whole process, which could take months, which then I don't have time to get an engineering contract and get the engineering done before next summer. I'm trying to get ahead of the game here and get a resolution and get the engineering rolling on these two structures so that we don't have multiple structures posted on County Highway 11, because that is a pretty big agricultural route. Very big. So I'm not saying it won't be posted for a few months, because if they send me a posting letter, I have 30 days to post it. But I would like to get these in the pipeline to get replaced next summer so that the posting doesn't have to be up any longer than it needs to be. So I would ask for your approval of resolution for the replacement of
010-4123.
I make
a
motion.
Second.
Been moved a second.
This money is for engineering and part costs, or?
This is money for engineering and replacement.
So just an estimate?
Yeah, it's a total guesstimate.
Okay.
I have no... I mean, I went and looked at bridges of similar size that we built.
Will you come back and give us an update, or we just...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I have a question. Is this just all county, or is this county and township?
It's all county, because they're on county highway.
Right.
Yeah. And they're not big enough to be a part of the major bridge program, because those have to be over a million. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing these are going to be in the $600,000 range for total construction cost. But we'll have to see once we get the bridges designed and see where the costs are. But I think we're pretty close here based on, and they're almost exactly the same bridge. So that's why the resolutions have the exact same number.
Clarification, this motion is just on the first one, right?
Yes, this is only on the first one.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Then the same resolution for 010-4124, the one that's a couple miles east of there on County Highway 11.
I'll make that motion also.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
So that's all of our bridge money for next year. And then some.
As long as you still get those signs.
Yeah, okay. I included in the packet a copy of the 5-year pavement management plan that we get yearly from Applied Research Associates. I just wanted to go over a couple of highlights of that so that you guys kind of know where we're at as far as our planning and where our road condition is. If you look at page 51 in your packet, I think this is a pretty good indicator of obviously how long pavements last. They're showing there a typical age of a pavement that needs major rehab is 17 years. But if you kind of look a little bit deeper into this, you got up in the upper right-hand corner, you got the different little signs that represent the typical kinds of construction that we've completed over the last 20 years or so. And if you look at Colden Place Recycling, which is a red dot, you'll see that's what we've kind of gone to in the last 5 to 7 years. And you'll see most of those red dots are above the line, which means they're doing better than your typical traditional asphalt overlay where we just either overlay the roadway and or we mill it and overlay it. You'll see the rubblization, which is the triangular shape there. Some of those do really well. Some of them haven't done really well. So that's kind of been a mixed bag of cost-benefit ratio there on those. So we're kind of getting away from going in and taking all the asphalt off and rubblizing the concrete and putting a new fresh asphalt layer on top of it just because when you get into those concrete pavements that are 70 years old, you're not really sure what you're getting into. So our kind of common process now is just leave them in place, let them be, mill off the old asphalt with a cold in place recycling and put fresh asphalt on top. And then that cold in place recycling is like a cold mix because that's what it is. You're just recycling it in place and adding oil to it in a cold mix and laying it back out with a paver gives you more flexibility in that underlying pavement. And those cracks that come from that underlying concrete pavement that could be 6 or 8 inches underneath the top of the asphalt don't tend to really reflect through as quickly. They kind of get lost in the shuffle of that cold in place layer because it's a lot more flexible even than a traditional hot mix asphalt layer. So I think we're doing the right things to extend the life of our pavements. We're doing our cold in place recyclings now. We're coming back typically before we hit 5 years and seal coating them to kind of seal up all those smaller hairline cracks. That's after we go in and do a route and seal on the larger cracks that have come through, and then we seal coat them, like Monticello Road. That one, we got to it a little bit later. It was like 6 years old when we got to it, but the runs we're doing this year are less than 5 years old, trying to get back to them, and the whole kind of asphalt preservation world is going to earlier seal coats. The earlier you can get out there and get that oxidation taken care of, get those small cracks taken care of, the better off you're going to be in the long term. So I'm hoping this 17-year number, I'd like to push it out to 20. Mm-hmm. You know, we got some roads that are at 25, where the road we're doing right now is at 25, but it should have been done at least 5 years ago. It was shot at 20 years, to say the least. But I think we're going in the right direction. We're doing the right things based on this report and what we're seeing coming out of this pavement management program, that our maintenance and our construction procedures are lengthening the life of the pavements.
Question here. Each dot represents what? A segment of road?
A segment of road. Like not necessarily. They break them up into construction segments, So of similar construction type. Because we might only do 5 miles of a 15-mile road in a given year, so they break that up into a segment. So there's really no, That's the rhyme or reason.
Probably a mile or two each one, maybe?
Some of them could be 10, some of them could be 2. I mean, okay. It just depends on, if it was all built in one segment in 1 year, they make that a section.
All right.
Okay, so.
So you can make comparisons.
You can make comparisons based on the methodology that you use to do the construction, but you can't make mile by mile comparisons, I guess, without breaking it down even farther. Mm-hmm.
Jeff, do you think the issue with the rubblization, why it's failed in some cases, is because of the quality of the material that's getting brought up? I mean, it's getting reused? Or is it something about the subsoil?
It's the subsoil.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the subsoil and lack of ditches that we have on a lot of our roadways to actually get the water away from that subsoil that concrete's sitting on top of.
Okay.
The first ones, I think these ones that are below the line, these couple of triangles are up on County Road 9. And those were the first ones that we did where we didn't go in and do a full edge drain to get those kind of dewatered before we did them. And it just depends on what you got underneath that concrete and how well that concrete is going to hold together. And unfortunately, you can do cores of the whole roadway. I mean, you can't look at the entire roadway 10 miles long. You can do 10 cores and say, okay, the concrete seems to be in pretty good structural condition, but you know, from me to Chris, it could be totally different. We didn't hit that place with a core. So you're kind of shooting in the dark a little bit. And until you get the asphalt off, you don't really know what you got. And once you got the asphalt off, you've already kind of gone too far to turn back. So I think what we're doing now is safer, and I think it's going to have a longer lifespan. The failure rate is going to be a lot less, and the success rate is going to be a lot higher, just by the true nature of what we're doing. And you'll see there at the bottom of page 51, at the end of 2016, the overall PCI value was 75.3, which is pretty darn good as an average across all of our county highways, because it's on a 0 to 100 scale. So we've got some stinkers, as you see on the next page. You know, County Road 23, which is the one where Colden Place Recycling doing ditch work and shoulder work and overlaying this summer. So we'll get that orange and red off of the PCI ratings in figure 3. We got one more little red section over here just through Royal and over on to County Road 22, but it's kind of a loner out there by itself, and to go in there and do a little 1 mile section of roadway would be pretty cost prohibitive, so it'll probably just have to be a stinker until we get back to do that full length of County Road 20 somewhere in the future.
What's County that? Road 55. Just north of Champaign-Urbana?
That's north of Rantoul.
North of Rantoul. That's Maplewood.
Maplewood Drive.
Yeah. Maplewood? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a 4-lane concrete pavement that goes to nowhere, except the golf course, which may or may not be there in the future.
And Greg McCoskey's house.
That one's 12 holes now.
Stan Cole's up there, too, by the way.
Okay. Which one?
This one's not 12 holes.
No, it's Gibson City.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's 18. It's 18.
So it's kind of a, we've tried to give it to the city of Rantoul multiple times.
Yeah, they're a little too smart for that, unfortunately.
Is it in pretty bad shape?
It's an old concrete pavement that's been overlaid, and we've gone up there and milled the joints.
The bridges have been redone.
Yeah, the bridges are totally new because they were shot.
The
base is not in great shape, probably.
Yeah, it's just, it's a concrete pavement on dirt. And it's 4 lanes wide. There's no reason to have 4 lanes up there. It's got storm sewer, curb and gutter. It was a proposed growth site for Rantoul back in the day.
It was subdivided at one point. I don't know that several of those areas up there were subdivided, but then it kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah, that road, if you go south on that road through Rantoul, it runs into what used to be the north gate of the base.
Oh,
so that was sort of a gateway base back when the base was... Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of, I mean, for maintenance and also for snow plowing, it's just out there by itself. Trying to work with Ludlow Township Highway Commissioner, because he already plows around that area, mm-hmm. to see if he would pick up the plowing for us, but I haven't been successful in trying to convince him.
Not that Randy, is it?
What's that?
Who is that doing it? Not Randy.
In Ludlow?
Yeah, who is it?
Kenny During.
Kenny During.
He's got that too?
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes down there.
He would. Yeah, I'm in Ludlow too, which is north of Rancho. That's why I was thinking he didn't go up to the city. I thought somebody else did that.
Well, we do this, unfortunately, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. So for us to get to it, it's really not in any snowplow route. We just kind of bring a guy down off of 9 and take care of it. But it's a lot of windshield time.
Ask him a couple times when I see him at the next church event.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. He's worried about the liability, obviously. Mm-hmm. We have a maintenance agreement out on Lake of the Woods roads, which are out there in the middle of nowhere for us, with Chris Dennis, and we've always had a good relationship there, and he's taking care of those, and we pay him with salt to do it, yes, and it works out really well, and I was hoping to have the same agreement with Ludlow. He even drew one up, and similar to the Muhammad one, and sent it to him for review, and it kind of, I think it fell onto the floorboard of his truck and got shoved underneath his seat. And
no.
Kind of like most highway commissioners do with their stuff.
Hey.
That's
cool. Get right on
that. Yep, exactly. And then just kind of a couple other things. If you look through this report, there is a 5-year maintenance and reconstruction plan on page 55, although these come out of their model and their program, and this is what their program says we should do. Sometimes they don't all fit together real well as far as being projects that we can do, you know, in a given year, because they're segmented, like we talked about, Pius, where they got one segment that they say needs to be done. So we don't use these verbatim, but we take these into account when we put together our construction program down the line. So these aren't, I mean, the major rehab on 23, that came directly from us, that's why it's in here. 13 and 16, which is the Broadlands Road and the Posotum Road, that came directly from us in 2018. Mm-hmm. But beyond 2018, we haven't made any steadfast decisions on where we go, simply because if I apply for a grant, if I apply for a TARP grant, a safety grant, and get it on a given road, that kind of is where we turn our focus to. And 15 is getting bad. That's the road that goes from 130 over to Sydney and then on over to Homer. And it gets a lot of truck traffic because of Frito-Lay.
Yeah.
So it's likely that that's probably one we're going to be looking at in 2019. And it's got some safety issues. Narrow shoulders, got poles that are relatively close to the shoulders. We haven't had a major accident out there, and unfortunately, HSIP grants, which are your Highway Safety Improvement Program grants, are based on fatalities. That's just the way it goes. I don't want anybody to die out there.
Right. Yeah.
But if it happens, we'd probably move right up in the front of the line to get that money. So that's kind of why we kind of play this game of waiting and seeing what's going to happen for a given roadway before we, you know, doing a 5-year plan is kind of tough, is what I'm saying. It's more of a 2 to 3 year outlook, but they give us a 5-year plan based on the condition of the roadways. And then the following page 56, you'll see the total outlay that they show for projected expenditures there at the bottom.
That's their estimates?
17 and 18 are ours.
Okay.
19, 20, and 21 are theirs. But you'll see 18's a big number, $4.7 million. Almost 100% of that is coming from the feds and the states, because we got TARP money and we got Highway Safety Improvement money, and we got federal money, both for the Broadlands Road and the Posotum Road. So I would say 90% of that, somewhere around $4+ million, is going to come from other sources next year. So that'll help us kind of be able to do these programs, because we only get a couple $1 million a year, and maintenance chews up $600,000 of it or so every year, because their maintenance just includes maintenance on the roadways. It doesn't include signs and salt and all that stuff that we include in our overall maintenance expenditures. So they're showing roughly $500,000 just in roadway maintenance, and that, like I said, doesn't include our our wintertime maintenance or our signs or our mowing or anything else that we do. That's just to keep the top of the roadway in good shape. So we're falling short, but we've done a really good job of being able to bolster that money with different grants. And then the following page just shows what they project as their rehabilitation and surface treatments over the next 5 years. So it's a good report. It's showing that our PCI value, if we kind of follow their model, will remain stable over the next 10 years and will average 77.6. So I think when we take 23 off, which is like the PCI for that is like 25, it's really, really low, and that gets bumped to a 99, that's going to jump our PCI and our overall network quite a bit. And so, and then it'll start, you know, coming back down as that road ages.
How is that project going, Jeff?
It's going great.
I haven't been up there for a few months.
Yeah, they almost got most of the dirt work done. They got the first mile done. They're working on the second mile. Open roads doing the work. Getting good weather now. They got a dirt supply that's real close for the borrowed dirt. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at cold in place recycling probably in July, and then they have to put the surface on. I believe we got 3 or 4 weeks where they could leave the CIR before they have to put the surface on, because we don't want a lot of traffic on that cold in place recycling before we go ahead and put the hot mix asphalt on top of it. So they're ahead of schedule, and I assume they'll stay there because they're not leaving the job. They're staying there and doing the work. So that's the 5-year pavement maintenance management plan. Anybody got any more questions on that?
May I ask a question?
Yes,
This is interesting to me based on what we learned last night at ELUC, and the ETJs have changed a lot, and we got an updated map of the ETJs. And aggregated in the past year, that's taken 296 acres out of the county. So my question is, if you overlaid that over your map here, and then we did a 5-year projection, which is what I wondered about last night, which would put basically, I suspect the whole southern rim will all be touching each other at the rate things are going there. So how does that come into play in relationship to the county's obligation on road work and these projections and this report that you've just detailed for everybody?
Well, the only roadway that's relatively close to being an urbanized roadway is Staley Road south of Curtis. Dewey Fisher may be a little bit north of St. Thomas More when some of that gets taken in. But the majority of our roadways are far enough out that they're not even going to fall
so
into.
So those shifting boundaries will not?
Not too much.
Okay.
Not too much. Now, obviously, there's always the fringe road thingy that we've talked about for 12 years.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah, because the way it's growing now, it's going to be this section, then there's going to be this ring of county here, and then the population bullet, especially here, if you look at that map. And this will take probably 10 years on this side. It'll take longer, but there's still that county gap there. And I mention it from the perspective that I've just detailed, but the other one is the importance of fringe road agreements or IGAs on how are we going to be working with each other, because there's going to be these, you know, joking places where this boundary is here, so you plow up to this point and say, tough luck, this is somebody else's obligation. I mean, we have places like that already. So it just was visually apparent what's about to be happening. And I had no idea that many acres had gone.
We are very fortunate in Champaign County because somebody had the foresight to get rid of all the county highways within the municipal boundaries many, many years ago. Now, we took on an obligation with that to help out on some of the fringe roads when they come to fruition in the future. But you look at the majority of your urban counties, you know, your Macon County and Sangamon County and Peoria County, they have county highways that run right through town. And so they got stoplights, they got streetlights, they got storm sewer.
Well, we have a Springfield.
That's a state route, though.
I know.
We want to keep it that way.
I know, but it's like a clog in that artery sometimes. Yeah.
So.
Okay, I just, it just hit because we talked about it last night in ELOC.
Right.
And Jeff, there's no automatic transfer of responsibility or ownership, right, if a county highway gets annexed?
No, township there is. Township highway gets annexed, it's automatically municipal street.
But no such rule for county highways. Right?
But in that fringe road agreement with the cities of Champaign and Urbana, there's a paragraph in there that says if they annex a half a mile of roadway on either side of a county highway, then they take the whole mile of roadway into the municipal system, and we have to upgrade the roadway to a 10-year life, whatever that means. I'm not sure.
Oh, so that was the extension of Phila, wasn't it?
No, it was like Staley Road when they took Staley.
Oh, Staley. Okay.
So we have to do some road work on it to get it to a certain condition rating.
But then we're done.
But then we're done.
Yeah.
And that, sorry, what is that rule?
It's just in the fringe road agreement.
No, what's the specific rule?
If they annex a half a mile on either side of the roadway of a 1 mile section of roadway, then we bring it up to a 10-year life.
Meaning they own half, they annex the full half mile on each, like,
either side.
On each side of the road?
Either side. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, Curtis, or.
For the whole mile?
Yeah. They only have to annex, so if this is a mile, here's the roadway running down the middle. They only have to annex one quarter of that, you know, or a half a mile on one side, and they got to take the whole mile of road. That's what the agreement says.
Oh, sorry. So the half mile is the longitudinal. Half mile is the length, along the length of the road.
Right.
If their boundary touches more than a half mile worth of that mile, then it's theirs.
It's a snowplow issue.
I somehow managed to get this long in this committee without realizing that was the case.
1991, that was implemented. Now, I'm not saying that they couldn't hedge on that obligation, but it worked for us on Staley Road back in 2004 when we turned that over to the city. And now the city has Staley Road from Curtis all the way out to 150 because they took it from the state too, you know, from Springfield all the way up to Bloomington Road.
Is that in danger of happening in Mahomet with those two, with Lake of the Woods Road? Because I know they're,
we don't have an agreement with Mahomet.
Oh, it's only Champaign-Urbana. Okay.
Yep. Got it. Only Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah, too bad.
Because I say that probably would qualify the Lake of the Woods Road would probably qualify.
It meanders in and out of the city limits. Mm-hmm. And you weren't on the committee 5-6 years ago when we had a conversation about turning that roadway over to the Village of Mahomet. And we got a petition from all the landowners out there that said, you're not turning that over to the village because they don't know how to take care of roads. And we kind of dropped that issue. So they're very happy with Chris's snow plowing and our summer maintenance out there, and do not wish to have that in the village limits. So that kind of got dropped. Any other questions? All right, and the last thing on here is this wing wall emergency repair that I emailed everybody about. We're out there right now doing that work. It's anytime you do an emergency repair, you think you're doing exactly what you need to do, and then you get out there and there's other stuff that pops up. We started driving the sheet piling, and literally the slope started failing immediately.
Wow.
So we've had to go back and drive, basically, if this is the slope coming off of the roadway, we were driving the sheet piling down here to hold it so we could put the wing wall back up. We had to come up here and drive another line of sheet piling to hold the slope from sliding even farther.
Yeah.
So this 163,000 might be 200,000 when we're all said and done, which I said in the email, it'd be 150 to 200,000 likely if we do it. So we're out there, we're kind of just taking it as we can and as it comes. Stark is out there driving the sheet piling today. But we had some real issues when we started driving the sheep pine with the slope failing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, literally, I was walking on that slope, and I fell through the slope. Mm-hmm. My leg, from my knee down to my ankle, I just fell right through the dirt. And I was like, where are these cavities in this? Yeah. You know, and somebody said it's animals or something. You know, it'd been burrowing underneath there for 50 years. Because it's around a stream. But it just started sliding and failing. Yeah. So I think that's why that wing wall got so much pressure on it, because that slope, you know, was just starting to fail and slide and slip. So we're actually going to angle the wing wall at a different angle than the old one to get it farther away from the roadway, which will help us a little bit get a little less of a slope on that roadway. And we're going to have to drive two lines of sheet piling. So that item of sheet piling that they bid on will likely be about double, you know, what they actually bid on it. So
put that on your maintenance schedule. Send a guy up there with a 22 every couple months and keep the gophers under control. Well,
should probably check and see if there are any endangered species in
traps.
Just a joke.
Traps. They'd be endangered if I was up there.
Yeah.
Well, there are certain creatures walking around here that I think could go somewhere.
Two-legged ones. Less grass.
Oh, maybe they quack.
Working on that. You did tell you about that.
That's more funky.
Working with the natural history.
Migratory waterfowl.
We're going to plant native grasses out there.
They stay now.
They like it.
We're going to go pick them this year by hand out in the field. I'm telling you, this is quite the process. Anyway, we can talk about that later.
Jeff, where exactly is that wing wall? I'm sorry, I saw your original memo, but I can't remember.
So if you go through Thomasboro going west, past Casey's.
That was one of the ones they put in with the interstate.
Yeah,
over the
it's 50 years old.
There.
Yeah. Overpass over 57.
That increases more than a contingency
20%. Emergency contingencies.
Yeah.
This is why we keep a contingency in our bridge fund, by the way.
Yeah, well,
and I don't run it down to zero.
That with the housework.
It's on the east side of the interstate or the west side?
North side. Well, it'd be the east, northeast corner.
Okay, yeah, I can picture that. By the way, where that trailer park used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Slitters.
So, the other item was the July 7th meeting. Whether you guys want to hold a meeting. I don't have anything pressing that I'm aware of. And I know most meetings get canceled in July, so it's up to you guys.
I would move cancellation of the July 7th meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Just one other quick thing under other business. June 19th, we will be closing Monticello Road. We put out press releases. We'll put out another one right before we do it. But we're going to start construction on one of the bridges, and since one of them is going to be out, we're just going to close the whole segment of roadway, because the other bridge is supposed to be posted anyway, and we've been kind of hedging that until we can close the roadway. So June 19th is the start date for closure of that roadway.
Or June 19th?
Yep.
That airport road, that's Urbana.
Yes, they're doing the concrete work up there right now.
It starts out very hot and heavy this morning.
Yeah. Yep. And Lincoln Avenue should be getting paved in July. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a pre-paving meeting here next week. And I'm sure the city of Urbana is going to have a lot to say in that concrete paving meeting with Stark. So I'm going to go and just kind of be a fly on the wall and keep my mouth shut, I think, because it's their roadway. But it'll be interesting to be there, see what happens at that meeting.
Well, Mr. Gray was still extolling the virtues of concrete pavement the last time there was a neighborhood community meeting in Urbana. I left early. I just said I wasn't going to
In theory, yes.
In practice, no.
Yeah.
I hear you. That's all I have.
Engineers are big on theoretical.
So they're not going
road
for
practical. Okay, any other
workforce
business that the committee want to bring out? No.
No, ma'am.
There's no chair's report. And a designated item to be placed on consent agenda would be what?
8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else for the committee?
No, ma'am.
All right, declare us adjourned.
All right, very good.
Thank you. Chair, 9:54, Pius.